You're listening to episode 247 of Women Worldwide. What does it take to be a woman in government and politics today? Are there certain characteristics you need, not just to survive, but to also thrive? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for showing up and for tuning into the show. And we hear you. Every week, we're hearing from you about challenging stories, topics, things that you want to learn about. And that really helps us to line up our guests. Now, you know that every week is a new guest, someone who is a highly talented and accomplished professional, and they make it look easy, but you know that it's not always easy. And they're here to share the ups and the downs of their journeys and what they've experienced, all to help you overcome your challenges, to help you fuel your passion and power up your own voice. So please keep the comments coming. You know, I'm on Twitter at D Breckenridge. You can post on Facebook, subscribe on our YouTube channel, leave a comment there, or just email me. And that's Deirdre at pureperformancecom with two M's.com. Okay. Let's get to today's topic and special guest. The topic is women in politics. Yes, what an exciting time to be hitting this particular topic. What are the characteristics? What do you need if you're a woman in politics or if you're in a tough workplace environment, not just to survive, but actually to thrive? What does it take? What are some of the challenges? I've got the perfect guest today. Joining me on the show is Joni Wickham. Now, Joni is a seasoned leader in government and politics. She has spent time directing public policy, communication strategies, and political campaigns. Now, she spent a lot of time, about 8 years or so, in the office of the city of Kansas City, Missouri, the mayor's office, Sly James. She was chief of staff. And today she is the co-founder of Wickham James Strategies and Solutions. Now, Joni's here to share her journey with you. Joni, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor to be with you. I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much. And being a woman in politics, there is a lot that you can certainly share through your journey and as a leader. And I think let's start with the journey. So, Joni, did you always want to be in government and politics? Were you a child who sort of knew your direction, or how did this all kind of come about?
A little bit yes, a little bit no. I always enjoyed watching the news with my grandparents. I grew up in rural North Carolina, and my family was of very modest means, so we didn't really have the resources to go to museums or go to the movies and that sort of thing for entertainment. So I did a lot of reading the newspaper to them. I did a lot of watching TV with them, and in the evenings we would watch the nightly news. David Brinkley was a fixture in our living room.
Oh, right.
And so I was kind of almost obsessed with the news, because that's basically all that I had going on around me. So for the longest time, I thought I wanted to be a political journalist. And when I was a freshman in college, I was lucky enough to get a internship in my hometown newspaper, teeny tiny hometown, population then of, 50,000, 60,000. And I, ironically, the editor sent me to cover a city council meeting. And while I was there, there were seven older white gentlemen who made up the city council, and they had an $800,000 budget gap, which was a huge amount of money for a city of that size at that time. And so they decided to close that budget gap by cutting what they called the WICE program. And it was very clear from the discussion at the table that no one there knew what the WICE program was. Come to find out, it was WIC, Women, Infant, Children. And I had been a recipient of that program when my mother and I were finding our way through poverty and generational poverty, under education, that sort of thing when I was growing up. I knew firsthand what that program meant for families in our community. And so I was just shocked and appalled that a decision like that could be made with really little thought given to the impact it was going to have. And I went back to my editor and told him about it. And he was like, yeah, that really sucks. Go write about it. So I thought for a minute, oh my gosh, in this system, my only role is to write about a decision after it had been made. So I decided then and there that I actually wanted to figure out a way to get a seat at that decision-making table. And maybe they wouldn't listen to every single thing I said, but I was going to make sure that in a situation like that, they knew what the Women, Infant, and Children program was and the impact that it had.
That's, I mean, that's so personal, right? That a way to get started that really hits your life, what you've been through. So as you sort of, you know, you started with the reporting and the city council meeting, and you grew into a role, a big role, as a chief of staff for the mayor, and that's quite a role. What was that like, just being a woman in politics? Can you maybe share how you felt? Did you feel alone? Did you feel empowered?
I felt all of that. Sometimes at once. There were times that I felt alone. There were times that I had imposter syndrome that a lot of women leaders feel. Imposter syndrome is when if you don't feel like you know every single thing about a topic, you feel like you don't deserve a place at the table. Right. I certainly felt that from time to time. But there was also times that I felt very grateful to have a network of strong women leaders around me who would, number one, tell me what I was doing wrong and sometimes tell me things that I didn't want to hear, which is powerful.
Right.
But they would always...
Is that hard for you, Joni? I'm just curious. When you were receiving feedback from other women, was that difficult at first? Or was that something that you embraced right away?
It's something that I embraced. And I had to because... as I mentioned, I had a very modest and meek upbringing, and I really didn't have professional role models, much less women professional role models to look to. So I always knew that I had to soak up whatever knowledge and feedback I could get, because there had always been an experience and knowledge gap there just because of where I came from. So I think I've always been open to feedback because that was how I learned things to do and things not to do.
No, that's really important. I mean, it's always hard to receive feedback. Some people feel it's easier to give it, but it's a gift, no matter what.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes when you receive feedback, even if it is harsh or critical, it's realizing that those people are coming from a place of, in most cases, help and to help you grow. So it's so good that you had women leaders around you. What do you think are some of the important skills that helped you, you know, I mentioned the whole, not just survive, but actually thrive. What are some skills that you relied on or felt like you had to develop more as you went along?
Good question. I've always had to be very thick-skinned. If I were particularly sensitive, I don't think I would have been able to survive. I've always had to be resilient and try and build resilient teams around me. In politics and government, you can wake up one day thinking that your schedule is going to look a certain manner, and then a pothole breaks, or God forbid, there's another homicide in your city, you know, and it just changes everything. So resiliency is key. Work ethic and determination. I mean, it seems so obvious, but sometimes I think we forget about it.
Sure.
One of the things that helped me overcome imposter syndrome was that I tried to make sure I was the most prepared person in a room. I did a lot of meetings and negotiations with economic development attorneys, real estate attorneys, that sort of thing. I am not an attorney. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the difference in a TIF and a property tax abatement when I took over as chief of staff in the mayor's office, but I had to learn very quickly. Because my job depended on it, the momentum of the mayor's administration depended on it. So I would do things like go on Amazon and purchase real estate development law books that a first year law student would read in their classes, and I would read them on the treadmill at night.
That's above and beyond.
Yeah, just preparation and hard work.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really good. That's great advice. Because you were going steps beyond what somebody in that role might do. And do you feel, as you were learning more, that the imposter syndrome was less? Did you ever feel at some point that, oh, wow, I get this?
Yeah. Confidence begets confidence, and success begets success. And so I would find myself when I walked into a room and I knew that I had prepared, I knew that I knew what I was talking about, and that I knew what I was, the principles that I was standing for. That type of situation and success made me feel more confident and ready to take on the next challenge. And I think also I had to prove myself to a lot of different stakeholders. I moved to Kansas City from the state capital, so a lot of people didn't know me as an individual, much less as a professional. I am a petite, youngish. I'm going to go youngish,
like
female with a southern accent that you may detect. And so, a lot of those things create biases for sure, and I'm sure other women experience those things too. So when you walk into a room and you immediately know that people are kind of trying to figure out and measuring you up on what your shortcomings are, you figure out ways very quickly to walk into a room with some confidence, and you make sure you're prepared and know what you need to do to take care of business.
No, that's really good. I just remember looking on the youngish side. Earlier in my career, walking into the boardroom when we were, I owned an agency and we were pitching a law firm for services. And my partners and myself, we walked in and we all looked young-ish. And the partners at the table actually said to us, "We're the executives." I mean, it was so, and what we did, luckily, thankfully, we were authors. So we would put our books down on the table to, in a way, show that we were the experts. So it's really interesting. But yes, confidence does beget confidence. What was the reason for the transition to move into your own business?
Yeah, so the city of Kansas City has term limits. The mayor is allowed 2 4-year terms. He was reelected in 2015 with 86% of the vote. So that was great for us at our administration. And then we were term limited. Our last day in office was July 31st of this year. So I would say probably a year and a half, 2 years before we were term limited, we knew that we had an expiration date, if you will, on our term. And we started kind of figuring out first, each of us individually, what we wanted to do. And the more we thought about our own individual visions and hopes and dreams for life, both personally and professionally, we really discovered that we, number one, still liked each other, which doesn't always happen between a chief of staff and an elected official when you work together for that long. Right. We still liked each other and appreciated the different skills that we each brought to the table. We have complementary personalities and skill sets, which is very important. We have the same values. And so we decided that we would open up our own consulting firm, Wickham Jane Strategies and Solutions, and have greater control over our life. The mayor of a city as large as Kansas City doesn't have much control over his or her life, which also means the chief of staff doesn't have much control over his or her
exactly.
life.
Exactly. I knew that.
So when we decided to start our own firm, we had two kind of guiding pieces of criteria that we wanted to operate this firm on. And the first is that we would never compromise our own values when it came to our business. The second, that we didn't want to work with a-holes anymore. Because in politics, there are a few of those.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
That's our two criteria. Everything else we can kind of talk about.
Oh, I'm so glad that you said that. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
On launching your firm. I think that's fantastic. And upholding your values and knowing who you want to work with and who you don't want to work with. So challenges, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the show. If I were to ask you, like, if this was a speed question, just first challenge off the top of your head, what do you think your biggest challenge was or is as a woman in politics?
Man, there are so many. It's hard to pick just one. Honestly, I would go back to that imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Because it is so indicative of the internal psychology and confidence that women leaders have. But it's also indicative, I mean, not all of that stuff comes from within. Some of that stuff you're dealing with because other people project it on you. Mm-hmm. I know when I walk into a room and people have low expectations of me. I know it. You can kind of tell.
Right.
You know, women tend to have more emotional intelligence. And so that's kind of a blessing and a curse when you can use it to your advantage in a negotiation or something. But when you walk into a room and you're using components of emotional intelligence and you can tell that people are rolling their eyes when you talk, or what happens to me a lot, even to this day, is that Sly and I will be in a conversation. I'll ask someone a question and they'll turn to him and answer it. So just things like that. Imposter syndrome is probably one of the biggest challenges that I've experienced. I know a lot of other women do too.
Absolutely. So do I. And, you know, Joni, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to shift our focus over to the sponsor of today's episode, which is the Empowered Women event that's taking place on December 5th in San Francisco. And this is an event, and Joni, you know it because you're speaking at it, I'm speaking at it, where women are sharing their authentic stories about their experiences in business and how equity really matters. And on that note, Joni, you know, we've been talking about being a woman in politics and how you're a woman in business. I just want to ask you a quick question because it is all about empowering women. How can women support one another?
Good question. I think a key to women empowering each other is making sure that we get outside of our bubble and outside of our comfort zone and talk to women who maybe have different backgrounds. I was at a women's leadership conference put on by our regional Better Business Bureau, and it was so insightful for me to be in that room because, as we've mentioned, I've been in politics and government for over 20 years. And to then be in a room surrounded by women who had worked in business and nonprofit, I never would have interacted with many of them if I hadn't taken that step to get out of my comfort zone and meet women of different perspectives and backgrounds and expertise. And I think that's helpful because there's so many lessons to be learned and insights to be conveyed between women who have different experiences. And particularly these days, I think it's important to make sure that we have a diverse network of women. I love being able to learn some of the things that my sisters who are women of color experience and how I can support them. That sort of thing. I think diversity of background and expertise, just building a network of women from all walks of life is really important.
I agree. And thank you so much for answering that question. And just a little bit more about the Empowered Women event. The speakers are absolutely amazing. So we have Dr. Deborah Tannen, who wrote the book, You're the Only One I Can Tell. It's a best-selling book. We also have Pat Gillette, who's taking the stage. She is a motivational keynote speaker who deals with diversity and women's issues in business. Joni, what's your topic? What are you going to be talking about?
So my topic is near and dear to my heart, and it's based in a lot of personal experience in politics and government, and it's called The Thin Line Between Cupcake and Bitch. Does this sound familiar to you?
Yes.
I'm telling you, while I try to increase my own network and have more diverse women that I can lean on, there's so many women who experience this. You know, you go into a meeting and you're viewed as being too much of a cupcake by one person, too much of a bitch by somebody else in the same meeting. Oh, I think we've all had that experience. So that's going to be the name of my talk. I'm excited about it.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait to listen. I'll be there also. I'm so honored to be taking the stage. I'm going to talk about a new communication model called FEEL based on a year's journey of research with millennials. So I'm excited about that. And for all of you who want to join us at the December 5th Empowered Women event, there are still tickets left, although I am told by the conference coordinator that they are going quickly. So if you are interested in attending, I'm going to say the URL, and then of course you can find it in the show notes. You can find it on my YouTube channel, but it's http://bit.ly, that's bit.ly/, and I want to make sure I get this right, Empowered DEC5. So look for that URL, go find out more information, sign up, and hope to see you there. Joni, thank you so much for answering the question about how women can support one another. And a big thank you to the organizers of the Empowered Women event for being sponsor of Women Worldwide. Okay, Joni, let's dive back into our discussion. We left off, you were talking about imposter syndrome. We mentioned emotional intelligence. That is something that women have. It's a gift. It's sometimes could be a curse. And I think I wanted to key into your thoughts around millennials and kind of, you know, I'm doing a lot of research around millennials, noticing that they are really wanting more emotional intelligence from the leaders around them. So were you finding this in your experience with millennials and this generation in government?
For sure. And this is something, honestly, that I think I tried to grow into. It was interesting to me working with millennials in the mayor's office. They are so creative, much more creative than some of the peers, my own age and a little bit older, when it comes to innovation and strategy, that sort of thing. And it was interesting marrying that creativity with things like resiliency. Right. Yeah, so I think it's going to be interesting in the decades to come to see how millennials both grow as individuals and grow as a cohort, and how they marry those strengths and weaknesses in the workforce with other generations as well.
Right. No, I think that's really interesting. And a lot comes down to trust in the environment. And I'm just curious. So I'm sure you had millennials. I think you mentioned that there were millennials in your office. What were some of the ways that maybe you were building trust, just helping some of the listeners out there who also have millennials around them, might be on their teams, they might be supervising millennials. What does it take to build trust?
I really tried to focus on building them as individuals and professionals. We did a lot of professional development and training, and we had staff meetings where we would try to at least have a portion of those staff meetings be introspective and focus on how we as individuals could contribute more to the group's mission. We did a lot of leadership training. We did a lot of focusing on articles and best practices and talking about how we could incorporate that into our daily lives. And so I felt like as a leader, it was incumbent upon me to make sure that I wasn't just focusing on the day-to-day of the mayor's office, but also focusing on growing our staff particularly the millennials. We had several staffers who that was their very first job, was working in the mayor's office. I can remember working for a U.S. senator when I was 19 and how scary that experience was.
Yeah, that could be really scary.
Yeah, you just feel like if you mess up one thing, you're going to read about it in the newspaper the next day.
Right.
Which can be traumatic for some people.
Sure.
And can lead to the imposter syndrome that we've talked so much about as well. So I just felt like as a leader, it was important to make sure that I was helping develop our staff, millennials included, and helping them see what their leadership strengths are and perhaps where some areas were where they could grow.
Oh, I think that's really good. Did you notice as you were doing this, their behavior change at all? Was there anything that, I mean, whether they were saying, I feel great about this environment and verbally saying it, or even the nonverbal cues, did you notice any changes within the way that they were acting?
Yeah, I think the more we focused on growing each other's leadership potential, the more they saw themselves as individuals. I can remember one young lady, there was something, some big crisis hit the mayor's office, and I was supposed to go and speak on behalf of the mayor at a conference, and then this crisis happened, and I had to stay back at the office and help him think through strategy. So I had this young lady who I asked to go speak on my behalf, and she was so scared to do it. But we had just been focused in the staff meeting before, thankfully, sometimes timing's everything, on taking risks and overcoming right. fear. She was scared to death of public speaking. And so we kind of had a minute where we sat in my office and reflected a bit on that discussion about fear and taking risks and how we can gain so much and learn so much from that. She knocked it out of the park. She was great. Yeah. Yeah. So I hope over the time that we were in the mayor's office, not only did we help the city in a lot of different ways, but I hope we kind of planted some seeds in some of our staff that they can take leadership positions as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is a great story. And I'm so glad she knocked it out of the park.
That's great.
You know, take a risk. It could be scary. It's such an opportunity just to see how you can succeed. So, you know, I also wanted to talk a little bit about communication in general, because I mentioned communication strategy, political campaigns. How are you feeling about social media these days? Is it helpful to what you're doing? Is it harmful, meaningful? Maybe you could share a little bit there.
Well, like everything in life, or most things in life, I think it's a blessing and a curse sometimes. When I first started out in political communication, the only way to get your message out was by walking out of the state capitol in Raleigh and walking down to the Raleigh News and Observer's office and having a face-to-face conversation with a reporter.
Boy, things have changed.
Yeah. And then within a few years, you could fax someone
right.
a press release.
I remember
okay,
those
so
days.
Now, I mean, it's just a whole new world. Mm-hmm. And so I find social media really helpful when it comes to spreading the word about events. You know, when we wanted to make sure people knew when and where the mayor's State of the City address was, absolutely social media was wonderful. I have not found social media to be that helpful when you want to have some robust conversations in public discourse about tough
right.
public policy issues. I think it can be destructive and toxic from time to time. I can remember several circumstances in the mayor's office where someone would tweet something with no facts or data to back it up, you know,
right.
just whatever they felt like mm-hmm. Was the reason that we had a pothole, you know,
sure.
in the middle of the city. Absolutely no truth to it. And then we would have to spend 4 or 5 hours dealing with it because of how the viral nature of social
right.
media. So I think it can be a blessing and a curse.
Sure. I mean, you can hide behind your avatar on social media. I just find that, I mean, we're seeing things play out clearly on a national level, an election coming up. But it's more, I'm finding that what is being said, this level of toxic discourse, wouldn't happen necessarily if you were face-to-face with somebody. Sometimes when you're in the room, when you're having those one-on-one or even a small group, you might be able to get to some kind of resolution. Social media tends to fuel sometimes the worst
right.
of what's being said. I mean, there is
right.
good. There's no doubt about it. And I won't blame social media for everything. But there is this level of you kind of step back and say, is this a waste of my time or can we really help here? It's hard,
right?
Difficult to determine.
Right. A lot of what my work was in the mayor's office dealt with navigating conflict of different varieties. And my fear about social media is that, to your point, people can hide behind an avatar.
Right.
And there's very little, there aren't very many consequences for bad behavior on social media.
Right.
And also, it changes the way you navigate conflict when you can respond to a tweet without any ramifications of it in any personal contact or interaction. So I hope that it doesn't negatively impact society's ability to navigate conflict.
Right. That's a really good point. Jodi, I can't even believe it. We're at the question where I ask you advice so that you can share some advice with all of our listeners. And we're going to wrap up this segment. So what would you say to those business professionals out there who, whether they're in politics or they're just in a really tough landscape, what's your advice to them?
I think my biggest piece of advice is to remember to take care of yourself. This has been a weakness of mine for a long time. And I know when I'm not taking care of myself, I'm not firing on all cylinders and my work and my decision-making isn't the best. There were times in the mayor's office that like, I couldn't even remember what I did in the week because I was so exhausted by the end of the week. And so I think it's important to take a step back, whether you're in business, nonprofit, philanthropy, politics, whatever it is, when you're going through times of crisis, conflict, those tough times, to make sure you're taking care of yourself so that you can be sharp and make sure that you're navigating whatever issue it is to the fullest extent that you can.
That's right. Be sharp, be present. It'll show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Decision making. Absolutely. Jodi, last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and Wickham James?
Our website is www.wickhamjames.com, and you'll also find links to each of our dreaded social media channels.
Because you got to have them.
You got to have them. And they're,
exactly.
Hey, it's a blessing and a curse, right?
Right. Everything.
Yes.
You said it. Well, I hope everybody goes and looks you up and checks you out. Thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your journey, for talking about a tough landscape, and for giving really great advice and just for sharing your insights openly. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you to all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Please keep the feedback coming. Keep sharing the stories of amazing guests like Jodi who come on the show. We are changing lives one story at a time. You know, you can always reach out to me at Dee Breckenridge on Twitter. Leave a comment on the YouTube channel and please subscribe there. You can also go to the womenworldwideshow.com website and sign up for our updates. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.